In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Saint Moses the Ethiopian was a unique saint in many respects. For one thing, he has a very interesting story because he began his life as a slave. He became a leader of bandits. And then, because he encountered holiness in the Egyptian monasteries, he became a Christian, became a monk, and became one of the great desert fathers. And so when you read the sayings of the desert fathers, you often run across either sayings of his or things about his life. They just refer to him as Abba Moses. But he's called the Ethiopian because he was an Ethiopian in a place where there weren't a lot of Ethiopians. Just like Saint John the Russian was called the Russian because he was a Russian soldier, had been captured by the Turks and was living among Greeks as a slave to the Turks. So you call someone the Russian or the Ethiopian when that's a unique appellation. You wouldn't call someone the Russian when you're surrounded by Russians, or when you're surrounded by Ethiopians, you don't call them all Ethiopians. But he, when he was a slave, became such a difficult person to deal with because he was very angry. He got into fights, he stole things, that finally his owner, just to be rid of him, freed him. And then he went into a life of thievery and eventually became the leader of a large band of thieves. And he was feared by people. There's a story from this time about a particular shepherd that he had taken a deep disliking to, and probably simply because the shepherd was trying to keep the bandits from stealing his sheep. And one day he was on one side of the Nile River and he saw the shepherd with his sheep, and he bound up his clothes and put it on his back, and he took a dagger and put it between his teeth, and he began swimming across the Nile River. And the shepherd saw him coming and knew that he didn't want to stick around for him to actually arrive, and so he fled. And Saint Moses was so enraged that he wasn't able to take his revenge on the shepherd, that he decided to take his four best rams and slaughter them, tie them to his back, swim back across the river, cook the best parts of the meat. He sold their skins and then bought wine with it, and then had a big celebration. But one day he met a monk in the desert, and this monk apparently impressed him, and he brought him to the great Skeet, and he got to meet Saint Macarius the Great. This happened around the year 365. He didn't immediately decide to embrace the Christian life or become a monastic, but one day as he was sitting with his fellow bandits, he just decided it was time to go, and he just left without saying a word and went to the monastery and was made a catechumen. And while he was a catechumen, he was instructed by Saint Isidore, and we're told that he was often overcome with tears as he would recount his sins. When it was time for his baptism, he went to confession to Saint Macarius the Great, and he gave a life confession, which those of you that have converted as adults, you know what that's all about. But as he was giving his life confession, Saint Macarius said that he saw in a vision a tablet that was so covered with the record of his sins that it was entirely black. But as he was confessing, he saw an angel wiping the tablet clean until it was completely clean. He then was baptized, became a monk, and Saint Isidore advised him to take an isolated cell in the desert. It was far from the other cells, but not so far that he wasn't in communication with other monks, but there was no source of water nearby. The nearest source was a couple of miles away. And he wondered in himself how he could stay in such a place. He had lived a life where he basically was a hedonist. He did what he wanted to do. He ate what he wanted to eat, drank what he wanted to drink, and now he was in this cell which had no comforts and didn't even have any obvious source of water. But as he was contemplating this, he heard a voice from heaven that said, "Moses, enter the cave and vex not thyself concerning water." And he entered the cave and he found that there were several jars full of water waiting for him in the cave. One day, he had some other monks that came to visit him, and he had some lentils, because hospitality for monks is a very important thing, just as it is for laymen. But obviously what they provide is a bit more meager, but they do want to provide something. So he had some lentils, which he boiled, but then he didn't have any more water. And he began to pray to God, and he said, "You said don't worry about the water, but I don't have enough water to give drink to these monks who are thirsty." And as he was praying, it began to rain, so much so that there were jars that he left outside just in case, and they filled up with water, and he had water to give to these monks. And so his prayer was immediately answered. As he struggled with his temptations, because you don't go from being a hedonist robber to being a Christian and not have struggles with your past life. And he, for many years, struggled with temptations, with a strong temptation to lust. And at one point, he was ready to give up. And so he was speaking with his spiritual father, Saint Isidore, and he took him to the top of the rock that his cave was a part of, and he told him to look to the west. And as he looked to the west, he could see many demons in the air. And he said, "These are the people who are fighting against you." But he said, "Now look to the east." And he could see many, many more angels that were there. And he said, "These are the people who fight for you. So you don't need to lose heart. Continue the struggle." And he went back to his cave. There's a saying of his, it's actually a saying of St. Silouan, you could say. But as he was struggling with these temptations, he asked St. Silouan one day, "Can a man make a new beginning every day?" And those of us who have sins that we struggle with know why you would ask such a question, because many times you're falling, maybe even many times in a day. So he says, can a man make a new beginning every day? And St. Silouan said, "If he's a true laborer, he can make a new beginning at every moment." One ascetic discipline that he gave himself was he would draw water for other monks. Many of these monks were old, and it was difficult for them to go the long distance to go get water. So he would fill up different containers and bring them water at nighttime. One night, the devil came up behind him and hit him with a stick and knocked him out. And the next day, they found him on the ground, and he was carried to the church. And he was ill for a long period of time, and he never came back to the same level of strength that he had before. Saint Isidore advised him to rest spiritually, to not fret so much over the demons, because he was constantly warring with demons. And he had basically approached the spiritual struggle the same way he had a fight as a brigand, which was you use your own strength and you overcome your enemy. And he said, "I'm not going to stop fighting the demons as long as they're fighting with me." But St. Isidore prayed for him. He said, "From this time on, the demons are going to leave you alone. They're not going to attack you in the same way." And so from that moment on, his struggle with the demons became much lesser. One day, there was a magistrate that had heard about him and wanted to see him. And so people pointed him in the right direction. And as he was going to St. Moses' cell, he came across a monk who said, "Why do you seek such a foolish, obscure, and possessed man?" And so this magistrate said, "Well, I've heard good things about Moses." And he went away discouraged, and he came back to the main part of the monastery, and he told some of the monks what had happened. And they asked him to describe the monk that had told him this. And as he gave the description, he said, "That was St. Moses that told you that." One day, when he was in his cell, there were four robbers who attacked him, and they didn't know who he was, and they obviously must have been pretty desperate, because the robbing monks in the Egyptian desert wouldn't have gotten you much. But St. Moses quickly overpowered them. He didn't beat them. He just tied them up, and he carried them on his shoulders, just like those four rams that he had taken from the shepherd, and he brought them back to the church, and he said, "I've given up harming other people, but now tell me what to do with these four robbers." Well, the monks untied these robbers, and these robbers were so impressed by St. Moses and the life of the monks that they also became monks. So respected was he by the other monks that one day they decided to ordain him, first as a deacon, of course, and then as a priest. And when he was ordained as a deacon, he was wearing white vestments. And the archbishop said to him, "See, Abba Moses, now you are entirely white." And Moses said, "Father of fathers, which is completely white, the interior or the exterior?" And the archbishop was very impressed by the humility of his answer. And then on another day to test him, but I think in some ways maybe to show the other monks what true humility was, because he already saw that St. Moses was a very humble man, he told the other monks that when St. Moses came into the sanctuary, they were to drive him out, and then to follow him out, and then to hear what he had to say. So he came into the church, and these other monks started saying, "Get out of here. Get out, black man. Get out." And as he was going out, he said, "They've acted rightly concerning you." He's telling this to himself. "Your skin is as black as ashes. You are not a man, so why should you be allowed to meet men?" But of course, this was not because they really intended to drive him away, but they wanted to reveal his humility. On another occasion, there was a monk who had sinned in some way, and they wanted to call the various elders to sit in judgment of this monk, and St. Moses didn't come. And so finally they sent more people to get him to come, and so he did come, but he had a basket that he was carrying on his shoulders that had a hole in the back, and the basket was full of sand. And so the sand was pouring out the back of the basket as he went, and he said, "Just like this basket and the sand, I have sins that are flowing out behind me that I don't even know, and yet I'm being asked to sit in judgment of my brother who has committed some misdemeanor." And the other monks, when they heard his word, decided, "Well, let's just leave this one be." So they decided not to judge the monk. Towards the end of his life, he told several of the other monks, "You need to leave because the barbarians are going to come, and if you stay here, you're going to die." And they said, "Well, are you going to leave too?" And he said, "No, I'm not, because I've long looked forward to this day, because the Lord said, 'They that live by the sword will perish by the sword,' and I killed people, and I feel like this is my way of paying back the debt that I owe." And so several of the monks decided to stay with him. And finally he said, "The barbarians are here." One of these monks became fearful for his own life, and so he hid himself. And that's the only reason why we know what happened. So God in his providence didn't strengthen this one monk to stand firm. But the barbarians came in, and he just passively sat there as they killed him and the other monks that were with him. When St. Moses was a robber, he had a band of 70 robbers with him. At the end of his life, he had 70 disciples. He had committed himself to Christ. He'd gone from one extreme to the other and became a great saint. And so what this tells us is there's none of us, because of our background, because of our past sins, that can't become saints. We just have to follow the example of saints like him and continue the struggle and not give up, and to know that God will give us the power and the grace to overcome these sins. Amen.